Well, good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. We had a good Christmas. Good. That's about 15 of us. Great. I'm pleased to hear that. Well, it seems like ages since we've been together, isn't it? Yeah, it has seemed a long time, but it's great to be back. I always find that New Year is one of those times when, after a break, I can't wait to get started and see what God's going to do. Recently, the chairman of the Bank of England was asked if he knew what was going to happen to the economy this year. I thought we'd all like to know that. And he made this comment. He said, if you'd asked me that 5 years ago, I would have been able to give you a prediction with reasonable certainty or confidence. But as we stand today, I can't tell you with any certainty at all what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone the course of this year, this new year. In the 1940s, the pension scheme was introduced. And the plan was that it would give opportunity for people to have a pension at 65, at the retiring age of 65, and they would have the same standard of living every year of their life until they died. Absolute, fantastic, brilliant scheme. Of course, the problem was is that that only works if the calculations and the predictions all work together. So the predicted age of death after 65, do you know what it was in the 1940s? 68. So now my father, who was born in the was a boy in the 1940s, is now in his mid-80s, 83. People are living between 17 and 20 years longer after their after the predicted age. That presents a problem because it's not sustainable anymore. Something is going to collapse. Do you remember this last year? Porthcurry. Sarah and I used to go to Porthcurry Park when we were going out, didn't we? And there we used to go holding hands along the pebble stones and the rocks. Yes, very romantic, wasn't it? I didn't propose to you there, did I? It was another caravan site I proposed to you. So, and we see here, over time, this thing that people have built their homes on, their future on. Some of these are holiday homes. They have built their life and their savings and their homes in this has just collapsed. And fortunately, nobody's life was lost. Now, I don't know about you, those of us who've had the opportunity to travel a little bit, I always feel, I hope I don't get ill on holiday or when I'm traveling. I mean, I don't want to even go to a doctor or a dentist abroad, let alone a hospital if there's something serious. Because, probably like you, I feel really confident and secure in the UK health service. I feel it's probably the best health service in the world. Isn't it fantastic? I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and he said his elderly father developed a disease in the eye that was causing him to go blind, but they had this particular cure for it. It was a trial, and they would inject his eye to... He says it didn't hurt, but they inject his eye to cure it. Now, the problem was is this injection was £2,000 a shot. He's had 30 of them. Do the maths. £60,000. It's estimated that in the not-too-distant future, one in three pounds we spend in the UK will be in the health service. With the economy collapsing, with the pension crisis, with a predicted one in £3 we spend in the UK being spent on the health service that we're all fighting to maintain, and we all feel if that was us, we would expect it our right to have that shot in the eye. It's not going to last. The system is broken. And no politician, and all the king's horses, and all the king's men aren't going to put Humpty together again. The system is broken. So we have a very uncertain world that we're living in. And for many people, that tears the security and the hope out of people's hearts. And there is a massive amount of uncertainty around at the moment. But this morning, I want us to know and realize that despite what is going on in the world around us, and we can't put our head in the sand, there is a hope that is certain and reliable and sure. Now, every year, it's my practice, and I've been doing this for yonks now. At the new year, I ask God for his theme, his message, a word, something to hold on to, something prophetic, if you like, that God is going to do with us as a church, as a community of his people throughout the year, something that will encourage us and guide us in those moments, something that will help steer us in faith and confidence for the future. And I've been surprised how encouraging and how relevant they have been over the years. Like last year, do you remember, I stood up here and said, what year is it going to be? It's going to be a year of stretching. Do you remember that? And it was, and my word, has it been a year of stretching? I was at North Wales this week speaking to a group of leaders, a regional leadership, New Wine leadership team up there, and I said, this year has been the most stretching year I have experienced in all the 26 years of my time in ministry. As a church, we've known what it is to be stretched. We've had some great moments, some moments of rejoicing. We've had some folk join us. We've had some folk find fresh faith. We've had some folk leave us, and for many that's been confusing and sad and complexing. We've been challenged to keep going forward, and everything, our faith, our hopes, our dreams, our faith ventures have been stretched. We've done some new things. We've had some healing cafes, and I don't know about you, I remember somebody coming up to us before. I've said, I've never prayed for anybody before, and they have been healed. Never prayed. And some of the students said the same thing. And we had some healing cafes and invited our friends. And it was a stretch to step out and pray for somebody when you have never seen anybody healed by your prayers. And I remember one person come back, I pray for people, and seven people got healed for, and I've never seen that before, as they prayed for them. But it was a stretching moment. But we've been stretched in good times and bad times. In the time when the economy is really being challenged, we brought Adam on as a full-time elder and as part of the center management team. We've brought four interns on. And that have to be funded at a stretching time. And God guided us to buy a building. Are you? A building at a really challenging time. And as you look back, you can see in our faith, in our ventures, in every aspect, we have been stretched. But God has been with us. And we have seen him bless and provide. We've seen growth of new faces and new members. We've seen remarkable answers to prayer and some remarkable healings. Some healings have made me weep as I've read them, as the emails have come through. And in many respects, the word that we had last year about being stretched is still going to continue. It doesn't end, it's still with us. It's a continuous word. And I think as we look at buying our new building, and I remember as we were looking at this new building that we're buying, the first time I saw it and had a sneaky look around it, I knew what was in our building fund, which then was around about finding out the price of it, of what it was going to buy and what it was going to cost us to refurbish it. We, in our building fund, we had around about 30% of the funds to do it. And that was at the beginning of the year. At the end of the year, we've got 78% of the funds to do the job. It's only a short stretch away, and we're there. We only need another 22%. Well, actually, it's 22.22222 recurring. That is remarkable. So time is stretching, but it's within reach. And so it's going to continue for a little while, the stretch. But the word that I felt God give us this year for a church, which I'm very excited to bring to you, is this. This year, I believe, is going to be a year where hope is near. When everything seems to be collapsing and going wrong around us in terms of the world and the economy, for us, the people of God, for us, the church, we do not need to be without hope. In fact, we are called to be a people of hope. We are hope people. And hope should live in our hearts, should be reflected in our eyes, should be heard in every word and felt in every demeanor and attitude of spirit. For we are the people of hope. And we serve a God who is an expert in hopeless situations. And if the resurrection teaches us one thing, when all hope is lost, when the Savior of the world was crucified, when he was dead and buried with a stone rolled against the tomb, if the resurrection teaches us one thing, it says that we have a God of hope who can actually turn death into life and hopeless situations into the very thing that is going to bring us rescue and salvation. Isn't that remarkable? So this year, I believe, it's going to be a year of hope. And whilst we cannot be certain on many things, there are three things that the Bible says will remain that we can build our lives upon, and here they are. Now, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And if you and I, individually and as the community of God's people, make a decision this year to stand and build into our lives the principles of faith, not letting go of hope, and being committed to the loving God, loving each other, and loving the world that we live in, we will find that whilst there is insecurity all around, there will not be an insecurity and an uncertainty within our own hearts. Now, all the predictions are that it's going to get worse in the economy. That's the fact. That's the fact. Sorry about that. But that's the fact. But we are a people of hope. We're in the world, says Jesus, but we're not of the world. He says, in this world you'll have trouble. Fear not. Don't let it cause you anxiety. Don't allow it to rock your boat. For I have overcome the world. And there are some powers and principles that are seen in Christ that will cause us to prevail despite things crashing around us. And it is faith, hope, and love. We never need to be without hope. Now, hope in the Bible is not the uncertain hope that the world speak of. I hope I get better. I hope I don't lose my job. I hope it's going to be a sunny day. I hope it won't rain on my holiday. I hope that I'll win the lottery. I hope. It's not an uncertain hope. The hope of the Bible is a solid hope because it is formed out of the promise of God. All the promises of God, says the Apostle Paul, are yes and amen, or yes, and he will do it. Every word that Jesus promises will come to pass because he cannot lie. It's a contract. So the promises of God, when God promises something and says something in Scripture or by his Spirit that is confirmed by Scripture, it is a hope, a promise that we can rely on. Let's look at this verse. Because faith and hope are linked together. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for, the assurance of what we do not see. So God gives us an assurance. I will do this for you. Often it's prefaced with a condition. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. And I will make your pathway straight. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what decision to make. I'm confused. How's it going to work out? Trust in me with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Here comes the promise. I'll make your pathway straight. You can rely on that. But there's a condition. But there's a hope with it, which is certain. And faith is the confidence and the assurance that what God promises us will happen. I'd like to read a story with you of hope in a hopeless situation, just to encourage us this morning. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they may go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away, and they entered the tomb. They saw the young men dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him, but go and tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There he will see you, just as he told you." He told them that he would rise. He told them that they would see him again. And when all hope was lost, what Jesus had promised came to pass. When it all went wrong, the door opened for everything to turn out right. Okay, three lessons from this. Insurmountable problems didn't stop or deter these women. They were on their way to show their commitment, love, and devotion to Jesus, just doing what they could for him after he'd been crucified. And there was an insurmountable problem ahead of the road. Who is going to move the stone? This stone was a massive stone, typically over these Palestine graves, and it would have taken 40 men at least to move it. Here we see faith and hope working together. They have a hope to go and do something for Jesus, but there's a problem. They had enough faith to start on the journey, but they didn't have it all worked out. There were some components and elements of the story that they just didn't know how it was going to work. That's the nature of faith and hope working together. Faith says, "I've got enough to start. A few spices, a few bits of oil." But hope looks to God to do the rest. This year, I want to challenge and encourage you. Don't let uncertainties stop you doing great things for God. The number of times I've heard, been in conversations when you say, we shan't do that, we shouldn't do that because of XYZ. That's the God bit. They started early in the morning. Where are they going to get 40 guys to help them roll away the car, roll away the stone first thing in the morning? Where are they going to do that? They didn't have a clue. But they got up early, got the spices, and committed to the journey. And because they kept walking in hope, God did the rest and turned the stone away. When we started this church, 9 people, a vision, touch community, nation, and nations. Now, by the grace of God, we're doing all those things. We have touched churches all over the world. We have touched thousands of young people through our community projects. We have brought influence in Wales and the UK, and this is just a fact, way beyond our size as a church. When we were 9 people and we said, this is what we believe God wants us to be and do, there was a whole stack of uncertainty in all of us. But we just had a few spices and oil to start the journey. I remember when we bought this building, like the new building we're going for now. I didn't know how we were going to pay for it. There's only about 30 of us. We applied for a mortgage and they sent the mortgage back. Says, you haven't got enough money for a mortgage. And then we had to get some more money and apply again. I didn't know how we were going to pay for it. I didn't know how we were going to refurbish it. I remember when we were starting up our community projects, we had a big list of projects we were going to do, like counselling and the gap and aerobics and line dancing, computer classes. And we had all this stuff, and there was only a handful of us, relatively speaking, about 30 or 40 when we moved in here. And I remember walking around Valinda Reservoir and said, Lord, we don't have enough money, we don't have enough people, we don't have the skills to do it. And I heard this voice really, really clear, and it was this, as you need it, I'll provide it. So what did we do? We just kept going. And you know, many of you know the story, how when we came against a need, and we just kept going in all of our weakness, in all of our confusion, in all of our lack. God just kept rolling the stone away. Don't allow uncertainty to stop you moving forward, taking steps of faith and doing great things for God. Let him roll the stones away. You just keep taking the next step. Let hope in the promise that he has given, be the motivator. Now, in this year, there's three things I think God wants to do for us. For some, it's going to be the recovery of hope. Some of you here have lost hope, and your joy is gone. Your zing and zest for life has walked out somewhere. You know who you are. You know how you've been feeling. Bible says hope deferred or hope lost makes the heart sick. God's promise to you is this. He loves you. He is with you. He will help you. All things work together for the good, for those who love God and according to his purpose. This year, for those of you who've lost hope, God wants to restore hope. He wants to give it back to you. The human heart is designed and made to live in hope. We become broken if we lose it. Hope, recovery is on the agenda for some of you here today who have just lost hope. For some of you, it's a year when you haven't lost hope, but your hope seems a long way off. This year is a year when your hope is going to come closer. Some of you are hoping for some promises that God has clearly spoken to you. And when you heard it, you knew it's from God. You knew it. But with circumstances and the passing of time, you've begun to doubt and you're wondering whether it ever come to pass. But you're still hoping, but it seems a long way off. This is a year when hope is going to come closer. So don't allow hardships to depress you. Rejoice in your suffering and your hardship, says Paul and James. This is what Paul says. Hardship produces patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Some of you have lost your hope. You've become struggling in hope because you've gone through some difficulties. Let me explain something about hope being fulfilled and difficulties. Often for our hope, the vision, the purposes of God to come to pass in our life, we need to have a character, a maturity, to be able to steward the blessing and the thing that God wants to give us. Let me give you a little example. Supposing there was a wealthy person who left a sum of money to their child that they could only have it when they were 26 years old. And the will was made out when they were like 4. Why are they saying, 26 years old, you can have that sum of money? because they don't have the maturity and the character at 4 years old to handle it. They probably spend it on toys, even at 13 years old. You understand what I'm saying, yeah? But at 26-year-old, who has gone through the tests and the journeys of life, there is a character where they have the maturity to steward the blessing and the provision of the Father. The Bible teaches us that difficulties produce character. They prepare us in character so that when we have our hope, it does not disappoint us. We don't squander it and lose it and not appreciate it, but we actually use it really well. Some of you have lost hope because of the challenges and the trials, but these trials are allowed by God, and He's working in them for you to actually develop a character as you walk with Him, that you become mature enough to be able to be a steward of the hope that's going to come to you. And for many of you, your hope is going to come closer to you this year. And so with every hardship endured and every prayer prayed and every stand you make, the promise that you're hoping for becomes closer in its realization. And thirdly, for many of you and for many, and I think aspects of us here as a church, there's going to be some dreams, some hopes that come into fulfillment. The stone will be rolled away. The dream will come to pass and the blessing will come. But the key in all these three things is this. Like these women who walked along this dark pathway wondering who was going to move the stone, don't let disappoint you. Don't let disappointment stop you from walking into your hope. Jesus was dead. It was disappointing. It had apparently all gone wrong. They didn't have all the answers. It was a mess, or seemingly so. But in the secret of God, there was a third day. There is a third day for you. And the third day in Scripture speak of the day of hope. Don't let disappointment stop you walking. Secondly, don't let uncertainty stop you keeping going forward. Who will move the stone? How are we going to do it? How's it going to pan out? Exactly, Mary. You don't have to have it all worked out. You can keep moving forward in faith and hope and uncertainty. Don't let uncertainty stop you. Don't let inadequacy stop you. I'm not strong enough to move the stone. Even us four women aren't strong enough to move the stone. I can't do it. I'm too weak. We'll stay at home. Do you ever feel like that? Weak, inadequate, not up to the job? Don't let that stop you doing great things for God. It's not down to you to move the stone. You just got to get on the road and show your devotion, commitment, and service to Jesus with your oil and spices that are in your hand, the gifts that you got. Conclusion. If we hold on to hope that's given to us through the Spirit of God and His Word, if we allow hope to produce faith steps and keep going, we will see astonishing things over this year and the years to come. Obstacles will be rolled away. Dead dreams that are buried will be resurrected. Pain and sorrow that happened on the Friday of the crucifixion will be replaced by joy and celebration as we see the resurrected power of Jesus working in our lives. Hope will return and it will not fail you. This, for us and for many of you here, is a year of hope. And the word of God to you is this. I believe the word of God to you today is this. Hope is near. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, Spirit of hope and resurrection, come and speak and deposit faith, hope, and recovery of hope into every heart here this morning. You are the God who sees. You see our longing. And you are the God who knows the longings that you have put within our heart. You have given the desires of our heart, and you long for them to come to pass even more than we do. And I pray that this year, the power and the engine of resurrected hope will flow through our lives individually and through the church, and that we will be a third day people, a resurrection people, that we will be able to celebrate and give glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.